Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale. Frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
College isn't real. Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome. It's hour two. It's Friday. Let's let loose what's left of our hair. Let it all hang down. Oh, I miss my hair. It's going to be a hell of a weekend this weekend in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. There's a Portland Normal meeting. So I'll be at the Portland Normal meeting in my capacity as the retired founder. I co-founded Portland Normal back in January of 2015, and I retired in January of 2016. I put in a year, and that was it. what I came to find was that my ability to dedicate myself to that level of activism, to the standard I had set with Oregon Normal, wasn't going to be possible, man. I'm out of town too much. I'm flying too much. I got too much going. So it's not like I'm not doing activism. I'm just doing it in the media now. So it's kind of different, but I still have great fondness for Portland Normal. And of course we'll be there for their meeting and I get to see everyone there. That'll be a great thing happening at the Analog Cafe tomorrow noon here in Portland. And then I've been telling you all about this new weednews.co. I've been writing, I've at least got 8 or 9 posts up now in the past 2 days on weednews.co. My latest one on the Nevada Attorney General. I cannot believe this fool said there's been many deaths and overdoses of children from marijuana edibles in Colorado. Many, he says, many documented cases, many reports, I think his actual wording was, many reports of deaths. Look, nobody's saying it's a good thing that the kid gets into the gummy bears, right? That we're not wanting that to happen. That's not the goal, right? But come on now. It's not even in the top 20 list of things you don't want kids getting into. Let me give you his actual quote. Here's the actual quote from this fool, who's the top cop in Nevada, by the way. Here's the quote. There's no provisions in this ballot initiative to keep edibles out of the hands of children. For those who are not familiar with edibles, marijuana is now infused in every product you can imagine. There's pot soda. There's something called pot tarts. Most of you have heard about pot brownies. There's also gummies, lollipops, you name it. Maybe they're tailored initially to adults, but we know they're going to get into the hands of children. There have been many reported deaths and overdoses from children that unknowingly ingested edibles. End quote. Really? It's funny because, you know, everybody who knows even the most simplest things about cannabis can tell you it doesn't kill people. There's no overdose in 7,000 recorded years of human ingestion of cannabis. Not one fatal overdose. That's not to say it's not harmless. It's not to say it is harmless, I should say. It's not to say it's harmless because even, you know, especially if we're talking about the kid getting into the marijuana brownies. Look, I'm a professional pothead, and I don't mess around with the edibles. The metabolizing of THC through your gut is different than it is through your lungs. It's more psychoactive. It, instead of creating delta-9 THC, creates 11-hydroxy-THC. It's a more psychoactive substance. And since you're eating it, you don't get that immediate feedback. You don't know when you've had too much. Nobody who's advocating for marijuana legalization wants the kids to get all wrecked on gummy bears. In fact, much of what motivates us is a desire to ensure these products are properly regulated, inspected, labeled, and sold only in stores that check IDs. However, eating too much of the pot brownie is a bad trip. It's not pleasant. And it's sometimes accompanied by vomiting and shaking and sweat. It's not fun. I've had it happen to me. But these kids are taken to the ER. They're monitored. They're calmed down. They're given some fluids. They're held for observation. And then they're released. There's no long-term detrimental effects. Hell, some of you are going to suffer a worse night after drinking this weekend. Hell, it's possible you might even die from it. But nobody's going to die tonight if they eat the pot brownie. Nevada's attorney general reminds me of that rehab doctor back in 2014 when the opponents of our Oregon marijuana legalization roped him in to this great marijuana debate. It was on our recorded by our NBC affiliate, KGW. This doctor also spouted off a line about marijuana edibles causing the death of 5 children in Colorado. And I was in the audience, and he was met by immediate and loud correction. And it was so funny. He was forced to retract his statement in the news media the next day. And a chyron, a little label admitting he was wrong, was placed on the bottom of the debate broadcast when he made that statement, when it was broadcast later that weekend on television. So they had to have a debate where the opponents were visually corrected on the broadcast. And the other thing about these kids and the gummy bears getting into the pot-infused brownies, whatever, the numbers on these are so greatly inflated. Far more children are going to get into those newfangled laundry pods. You seen those things? Far more kids are going to get into those, and they're going to suffer some serious injuries. Far more than the kids getting into the pot gummies. We're still talking about a few dozen incidents, not a few thousand. And we really don't know how much this has increased or if it's increased at all, because we can't really rely on our numbers from the past because there was prohibition. And if your kid got into your pot brownies, you were less likely to admit that when you took him into the ER. Oh, I think he got food poisoning. That's what you're going to say. So I think this is much ado about a little bit of something. This, again, let's not let our opponents paint us as saying that this is a nothing issue. There is an issue here. We need to be smart and judicious and diligent about how we handle the edibles issue. Now, I think sometimes we go too far. I think Oregon here, where they've got a proposed 5-milligram serving size with a 50-milligram package limit, has gone a little too far. I'm a daily cannabis consumer. And again, I don't really use the edibles much. But when I do, I need like 200 milligrams of that stuff, right? I'm a pretty heavy-duty consumer here. So you're going to make me eat 4 chocolate bars or 4 brownies or whatever the hell it ends up being to get the effect I'm looking for with the added side effect of gaining weight. No, thank you. And what's going to make this worse is the medical patients who are going to make the legitimate argument that, hey, we can't be stuck with 5 milligrams and 50 in a package. We're medical patients, by God. Some of us are using a gram a day. you know, 1,000 milligrams, right? Some of us are some pretty high end users. So they're going to get that. They're going to get that accommodation, and it's going to get it set up so that these medical dispensaries will be selling the edibles that have 200 milligrams in them, or whatever they set it at. And the recreational ones will only be selling the little 50 milligrammers. And now you've set up this artificial distinction. You've set up this incentivization to divert off the medical market these stronger goodies. You've just motivated me to go find my friend with a medical marijuana card and send him to the dispensary with $50 to bring me back something that'll actually work for me. And you know it's going to happen. You know that's what we're going to do. The further along we take this separated market idea, the more we continue this incentivization for the very things that we're asking legalization to solve, like diversion to the black market. Now, eventually, this is going to have to just be one market with products available to everybody. I mean, well, or maybe not. Maybe, you know, hell, think of prescription drugs, right? I can go get Tylenol over the counter at a certain strength. But if I want the heavy-duty Tylenols, I got to get a prescription for it. Maybe we do end up with that kind of system. Maybe we will be stuck with the low-dose edibles at the recreational stores. I hope not. I don't think it's completely analogous, considering that high doses of Tylenol can kill you, and high doses of edible will not. And how far are we going to bend over and twist and contort ourselves to try to find the perfect solution that ensures that no child ever eats a medicated gummy bear? How far are we going to go, and how many adult rights and choices are we going to take away to get there? Because we don't seem to be doing that with the laundry pods. We're all cool with the laundry pods, despite them poisoning thousands of kids. It's just stuff I like to think about. Someday, we cannabis consumers will be treated as equals. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we've got a brief chat with Vivian McPeak at Seattle Hemp Fest last weekend. It's our last Seattle Hemp Fest highlight for the week. And it gives you a good idea of exactly how busy this guy is during the 3 days of Seattle Hemp Fest. I'm Radical Russ. We're back right after these messages.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
You know, during Dance with the Stars, I started feeling discomfort.
Yeah.
And not only that, I was doing these old man smells. And it was kind of embarrassing because, you know, all the Dancing with the Stars crew, cast and crew, you know, they were all young kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, this old guy would come along and do one of those silent farts, you know, that you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you smell, and everybody go, what the hell smells? And, you know, and you knew it was me. And so I'd scurry off to the bathroom, you know, and that's when I knew that there was something wrong.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today. Or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
Warning, it's taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 15 after the hour, and to conclude this segment before we head off into our 420 break, we got a chance to sit down with Vivian McPeak, the executive director of the Seattle Hemp Fest, backstage at the main stage. The guy has been putting on the Seattle Hemp Fest for 25 years, and we'd like to see it be a 26. Go to hempfest.org or gofundme.com/keephempfestalive. Make a donation so that you too can join us in Seattle's Myrtle Edwards Park. Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ here for day two of the 25th anniversary Seattle Hemp Fest, and I managed to snag the man himself, Vivian McPeak, the executive director of Seattle Hemp Fest and the host of Hemp Present on Cannabis Radio. Hi, Viv.
Hey, Russ. How are you doing, my brother?
I got to say, yesterday was a lot drier than last year.
Yes, we had an extremely high amount of humidity, higher than the people at HempFest even.
Yeah, I know.
And now it seems like trial by fire, so it's either feast or famine, my brother, my radical bro.
Oh, yeah, and so Seattle HempFest 25th anniversary. Tell us about this momentous occasion, man. What's it like? What's it feel like?
Well, you know, it's pretty crazy. We're going to have 120 bands on six stages with 120 speakers, 400 arts, crafts, food, informational vendors. 1,000 volunteer staff members on 118 crews and over 100,000 attendees we project over the weekend. And we're just raging against the drug war, man, trying to get some freedom and some justice here.
You know, some people out there are like, well, hey, you know, they got legal weed in Washington State. What's the point of Seattle Hemp Fest?
Right. Yeah, I got a couple answers to that. First of all, weed's not legal federally, and God forbid President Trump or even President Clinton, I know, could undo it in like a week. It could be over, right? Yeah. And so we got to remember that. And somebody's getting busted right now, obviously. Somebody somewhere is being pulled over right now. Their life's going down the drain. And we have a 25-point platform agenda on our website on the media page explaining the 25 goals that we're still working towards, including descheduling cannabis completely off the Controlled Substances Act. You know, things like Second Amendment rights for gun owners so they can have cannabis and a gun. Sick children being able to get their cannabis medicine in schools. You know, people in public housing being able to smoke pot, things like that.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of work to do, man. We are not in any way, shape, or form done.
Yeah, I often say, look, they passed the Civil Rights Act. Do you think that ended the battle?
And the other thing, Russ, in Germany every year, they have, like, I hear almost 1 million people celebrate Oktoberfest, celebrating the culture of beer every year. Well, beer's always been legal in Germany. Why shouldn't us stoners, us cannabis enthusiasts, a better word, have the ability to have our own cultural festivals in every city, in every town, ourselves, even long after legalization is normalized?
Seattle Hemp Fest is always, as I read in the festival guide, grassroots to the assroots.
Thank you. And yes, I made that up.
That's beautiful. And, you know, every year it's a struggle just to get everything paid for. This year more than others, because last year we lost a third of the whole event.
That rained like torrential. Not a single band played, not a speaker spoke on Friday. We had no event on Friday.
Yeah.
Even for Seattle, it rained like harder than I've ever seen in 35 years, just about. And it cost $850,000, $750,000 to throw this event. It's free. We can't charge money. We're a constitutionally protected free speech event. And last year, we got an average of 46 cents for the weekend from our attendees in the donation bins. Now, we raise money a variety of other ways, selling, you know, vending and sponsorship and stuff. But 46 cents, we need people to contribute to HempFest. We're going to not be around.
Yeah, so how can they do that?
Well, they can go to the website. They can go to GoFundMe, HempFest/GoFundMe.com. But I got to go, Russ. I got to speak.
Got to go. Busy man. There's Vivian McPeak from Seattle HempFest. We're doing it live. He's got to run right back up onto the stage there. Check him out on Hemp Present with Vivian McPeak on CannabisRadio.com. HempFest.org, you'll be able to find the donations. Also on GoFundMe.com/KeepHempFestAlive. I'm Radical Russ, backstage at the main stage.
You're not going to amount to jack squat.
Hey, everybody, it's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone on a Friday. On the day before, I get to go see Ice Cube and Duran Duran just blocks away from me on the waterfront. Oh, it's going to be a good weekend. I hope it's a good weekend for you, too. Enjoy this safety meeting. We'll be back with some freestyle ranting.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, the national wildlife refuge for marijuana unicorns.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon, where once again we are facing the specter that rises from the bowels of cannabis activism every election cycle. I'm talking about, of course, the stoners against legalization. That's right. They're back, folks. This 2016 election, of course, is one of the most pivotal elections in marijuana reform history. We got a record 10 states voting on reform measures. Florida, Arkansas, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and Montana will be voting on medical marijuana. But more significantly, California, Arizona, Nevada, Massachusetts, and Maine will be voting for adult marijuana legalization. Well, except for that diehard group of marijuana aficionados who will be voting along with the cops, the rehabs, the drug testers, the prison guards, and other opponents of legalization like Kevin Sabet to defeat those measures. And I call them stoners against legalization. This is the fifth election cycle where this phenomenon has reared its ugly head. And it's a combination of a few factors. One of them is I got's mine. This is where the people and industries in the states with medical marijuana are fearing the loss of their market share. Medical marijuana, especially in California, creates the perfect equilibrium for growers and sellers, where marijuana is prohibited just enough to remain expensive, but it's legal enough to avoid prison. Another is, it's a trap! These are the paranoids who believe that legalization is actually a way to manufacture more marijuana arrests. Somehow, when everyone is legal to carry an ounce and grow a few plants, cops will bust more people for over an ounce and too many plants, or for driving stone, or for public toking. And often, these people will point to the initiative at punishments that are listed that are merely duplications of what the punishment already is, as if it's something new in the law, which it is not. And then, of course, for the purists, the point is, it's not true legalization. This is the idea that we should reject some measure of marijuana liberty because there will still exist some criminal laws on marijuana. For some, legalization only really happens when it's as legal as alcohol, like no purchase limits. For the truly pure, though, legalization doesn't happen until we treat it like tomatoes. The people I like to call tilters, who actually think we would treat a psychoactive substance the same way we would a tomato. And then for some people, the problem is, what about the patients? And this can sometimes be a legitimate fear, that wholesale changes in the way we handle marijuana are going to upset the ability of patients to acquire marijuana in the amount and frequency that they need. But nowhere are the stoners against legalization more vocal than in California. California gave birth to the movement in 2010, culminating in that No on Prop 19 demonstration in front of Oaksterdam campaign headquarters on Election Day. Stoners, cannabis consumers, standing with cops and other opponents to defeat the first good shot at marijuana legalization we'd had. Their primary concern was that Prop 19 was a scheme cooked up by Richard Lee to enrich his Oakland marijuana empire. It was a monopoly grab that would hike the price of pot and leave others out in the cold. They also complained that the personal grow limits of a 5x5 garden were a trap because nobody could grow in that small of a canopy, so cops would constantly be busting people for overgrowing. Now, never mind that Richard Lee, a wheelchair-bound paraplegic, had come up from the grassroots and helped supply medical marijuana to thousands of patients. Never mind that his Oaksterdam University contributed a wealth of knowledge that helped foster the top growers in the nation. Never mind that Richard Lee bet almost his entire fortune by putting $1.5 million into the campaign. Nope. To the stoners against legalization, Richard Lee was an enemy to be as reviled as any narcotics cop. The No on Prop 19 people told us it wasn't true legalization. They told us it's a trap designed to help cops arrest tokers. But the truth was, they had a case of I got's mine. Evidenced by the drubbing Prop 19 took in the Emerald Triangle, the commercial marijuana growing counties in California. The stoners against legalization told us that a far better chance at legalization would come around in 2012. Well, now it's 2016, and the far better chance at legalization has finally arrived, only 4 years late. But the stoners against legalization are out again, with virtually the same dire predictions as 2010. Grabbing some ink these days is stoner against legalization Steve Cubby. He insists that Prop 64, quote, does not legalize marijuana, end quote, despite it clearly legalizing the possession of an ounce, the home production of six plants, the possession of the harvest, the sharing of marijuana with other adults, the purchase of marijuana from stores, and potentially the use of marijuana at private clubs. But that's not true legalization. Cubby complains that Prop 64 creates tougher punishments for people who possess more than an ounce. Well, that's just not true. The current punishment for possession of an over an ounce in California is a misdemeanor with 6 months, which becomes a felony with 16 months to 3 years if you can prove intent to deliver. Under Prop 64, the possession penalty is a misdemeanor with 6 months for over an ounce, just like it is now. No different. Exactly the same. Completely equal. Not different. And the possession with intent the one that's a felony with 16 months to 3 years under current law, drops to a misdemeanor under Prop 64. So not only does it not get worse for people over an ounce, it gets better for people over an ounce. In fact, every penalty for marijuana violations under Prop 64 is equal to or less than the current punishment except one. There is one thing that gets worse under Prop 64. Smoking pot where tobacco smoking is banned. You get caught smoking in a non-smoking zone and your ticket goes up from $100 to $250. Really? That's going to be your deal breaker? A public smoking in a non-smoking zone, right? Not just they caught you, you know, just smoking, walking down the street, but it has to be specifically a place where tobacco smoking is banned, is now going to be a $250 fine. But you do get to have a legal ounce on you, and you get to grow six plants, and you get to harvest all of the marijuana from those plants and keep them at the house, and you get to share it with your friends, and you get to go to pot shops, and you can start a business and get a license and become part of this $6.5 billion marijuana industry. But yeah, $250 ticket. Whew, that's a deal breaker. Now, there is one issue. There is one issue in Prop 64 I will give some ground on, and that is something I've got a problem with. The addition of a 15% excise tax on marijuana plus a $9.25 per ounce harvest tax that must be paid by both recreational and medical consumers. I don't got a problem with it on the recreational side, but adding 15% plus $9.25 to a $300 ounce adds about $55 to the cost of that ounce for a patient. However, it's still not a deal breaker for me, because the resulting economy of scale and competition that will evolve in the cultivation space in California will drop the price so low that even with the additional taxation, marijuana will be far cheaper in just a couple of years than it is today. I give you this from history, man. Among Washington State's stoners against legalization in 2012, one of their dire predictions was that marijuana was going to end up costing $600 an ounce. And actually, for a brief time, those kind of prices were realized. There were too few retailers and too little supply, and we ended up with $30 and $35 grams. But now, as the supply side has worked itself out, we've got more producers, we're finding that the average retail price for a gram of marijuana is below $10. And that's with the state's highest in the nation, 37% excise tax, and state and local sales taxes ranging from 6 to 9%. In fact, in Washington State, if you're buying at the ounce level, in some places you can find deals for less than 50 bucks. So as this recreational market expands in California, it has to compete with the rest of the West Coast market that already has a 4 and a 2 year head start, you know, Washington and Oregon respectively. If the grow regs and taxation become too onerous in the Emerald Triangle, then the growers will move to Southern Oregon. If the prices get too high in Portland, well, the consumers will cross the river into Vancouver, Washington. If the recreational pot is too much of a hassle and expense, patients everywhere will just keep renewing their medical marijuana recommendations. I truly think the price of marijuana in California could drop to as low as $150 an ounce after the passage of Prop 64, and, of course, the time it takes to get the commercial operations running. Then, when California in 2020 opens up the mega grow licenses, the prices are going to drop even further. Even if the price of an ounce with tax only drops to $250, it's still cheaper than the cost of an ounce on the current menu at Oakland's Harborside Health Center. I got no patience for anybody out there that wants to stand along Kevin Sabet and vote to keep me a criminal. There is nothing so flawed about any of these marijuana measures on the ballot that deserve your vote against them. Nothing in these ballot measures that can't be improved upon later. But as Debbie Goldsberry says, these things can be improved. Prohibition is terminal. We'll be back with more on this, plus a look at the prices in compassionate California versus greedy Washington next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
Oh, let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put the big celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot proved by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah, get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me on crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
Hey, this is Tommy Chong. This is Ray Dawn on the other mic.
Yes, the eldest. It was awesome.
And we saw, it was called Dying to Know.
It's a love story between Ram Dass and Tim Leary.
Yeah, the gay Jew and Tim.
But he wasn't gay when he was a professor. He didn't know.
Yeah, that must have been a shock to his wife.
The one time he, like, met a vagina.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Aw, made me sad. That was my little dog, Roscoe. I lost Roscoe in the divorce. He's now in Florida. I told my ex-wife, you keep him away from the gators. I will not have my little dog eaten by a gator. Oh, happy Friday, everybody. Just relaxing, unwinding. Enjoying the day here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon. And continuing our look at the stoners against legalization, because I've been writing for weednews.co, the new company I'm a part of. And I hope you check us out at weednews.co on Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest and all that kind of stuff. And weednews.co. There is a weednews.com, and it's some website that somebody's just using the address to get. It's for like their referral page for medical marijuana doctor, some crap like that, right? So we got weednews.co because, you know, we're stoners. We didn't have the time to add the M on the end. Who needs the M? Anyway, weednews.co, please check it out. And no sooner had I posted my Stoners Against Legalization piece today than I get on Facebook and I got a response from a longtime California activist. And I'll try and read it to you. It's hard to read, but it's a perfect example of this anti-Prop 64 hysteria. Here we go. I'll see if I can read it. I'll tell you what, bro. If you just want to give up your break, go ahead. Prop 64 passes. It's an ultimate takeover of cannabis, just like they did with cigarettes and tobacco. You won't be able to grow any, so it don't matter where you live once it passes in California. 5 years later, you won't find it except for in a cigarette store from Philip Morris. So enjoy your Philip Morris pot. And I don't know if you're even registered to vote in California, but if you are, I hope you don't. No, but you thought, yes, that's cool. It's because of Prop 215 was about compassion. Prop 64 64 is about greed, and you fall right in there. Cool, bro. Have a great day. Yes, there are no commas or periods in that entire screed. And never mind that Philip Morris has been called Altria for the past 13 years. This breathless rant from this stoner against legalization is just a distillation of the longstanding fear within the marijuana community that predates legalization. It predates medical marijuana. Hell, it even predates decriminalization. I mean, thus the antiquated Philip Morris reference. And that nightmare is the nightmare of corporate marijuana. Yeah, corporate marijuana. Stoner lore has long predicted that the evil cigarette corporations would pounce on the cannabis industry once legalization took hold. Stoners will point to unearthed documents from the tobacco lawsuits that showed those corporations examining the potential of the marijuana cigarette market if there was legalization, and analyzing how their manufacturing infrastructure could adapt to cannabis. Now, to this point, there is a kernel of truth. Indeed, if you're a big cigarette manufacturer, you've already got mass production rolling machines, you got existing packaging machines, you've got the distribution logistics worked out, you'd already have incredible marketing muscle and the kind of capital to dominate the market. To which I ask, so what? See, this stoner against legalization is trying to tell me, quote, I won't be able to grow any, end quote, when we pass Prop 64, which establishes a right to personal home grow of 6 plants indoors that no locality can ban. So it actually allows for more personal grows because you don't have to be a patient to grow anymore. And the California localities that are currently banning indoor home medical marijuana grows won't be able to ban any indoor home grows anymore. Now, yes, after 2020 in California, there are going to be mega grows. There are going to be companies mass producing standard weed cigarettes. You know, just like InBev, a multinational conglomerate, pumps out billions of barrels of Budweiser. And yet, at least here in Portland, right across the street, I can get growlers full of locally brewed beer of far superior quality to Budweiser from at least 30 different taps. Or, if I want to, I can brew gallons of my own beer at home. So why is weed going to be any different than beer? I say go ahead. Let these companies try and mass produce swaggy marijuana cigarettes. I'm not going to smoke them. You going to smoke them? I'm going to be shopping from whomever produces the best product at the lowest price. Now, if somebody else wants to smoke swag and drink Bud Light, well, who am I to stop them? Look, we've had 80 plus years of the full force of prohibition to try and stop us. And it has failed. The threat of SWAT teams and prison didn't stop us from growing when we could have 0 plants. How is life going to be any worse when we can legally grow 6 of them? Oh, wow. Now, wait a minute. I know how it gets worse. If you've been growing your plants and selling the harvest to dispensaries at prohibition-inflated prices, being the big fish in the small pond, thanks to a lack of capitalized competitors and regulations, yeah, I guess it really would suck if the price of a wholesale pound dropped from, say, $1,200 to $120, and it really would suck if you had to compete in an open market, wouldn't it? Prop 215 was about compassion, and Prop 64 is about greed, this stoner against legalization tells me. Really? So I decided to take a look at what the compassionate prices for marijuana are in California, since Prop 215, of course, was all about compassion. So I looked up Harborside Health Center in Oakland, California, the largest dispensary, so claimed, in the world. a longtime leader and pioneer in medical cannabis distribution, right? The biggest and the best. The Walmart of weed, if you will. So I took a look at their prices today on their website, and you can follow the links. I've got this piece written up there at weednews.co. I found the compassionate price for patients today to purchase 3.5 grams, or what we old-timers call an eighth. To purchase an eighth of OG Kush at Harborside in Oakland today is $45. $45. And that's the pre-tax price. I've actually shopped at Harborside, and I remember this, buying something, and then afterwards there was money added on top of that because there was taxes to go with it too. So that's the pre-tax price, $45 for an eighth. That same $45, you take it up I-5 right across the Oregon border into Vancouver, Washington. That same $45 in Vancouver, Washington at Main Street Marijuana is going to get you a quarter of OG Kush. And that's with the tax added in. And that's the nation's highest 37% tax plus a 6 to 9% state and local tax burden. And I think in Vancouver, it's something like 8 total. So 45% in taxes added in gets you a $45 quarter of OG Kush in Washington state under the greed of I-502. But under the compassion of Prop 215 in California, that same $45 just gets you an eighth, and you got to pay taxes on top of it. So don't tell me about compassion. Don't tell me about your care and concern for the patients. If the model you're supporting is going to maintain $300 an ounce pricing, that doesn't sound very compassionate to me. The most compassionate thing we could do for patients is to flood the market with so much recreational marijuana, so many growers, so many outlets, that the price of marijuana drops to something like $20 an ounce, $50 an ounce maybe, with the taxes. That's where we start seeing compassion for patients, getting the medicine down to a cost where it can actually be afforded by people on limited incomes. Hell, the big story going on right now is how everybody's up in arms about EpiPens. You know EpiPens? You know, for the guys that have like the peanut allergies or they're allergic to bees or whatever, and if they get that allergy, they go into anaphylactic shock, they seize up, they die. And so this EpiPen, man, this little thing, you can just zap it right into your leg, saves your life. Well, that company, or that patent was recently bought by a U.S. company that then jacked up the price 400% for this life-saving EpiPen. So the biggest scandal from EpiPen to pharma bro Martin Shkreli has been all about how the capitalist market in healthcare is unscrupulously jacking up the prices on the consumers who need these life-saving drugs. Meanwhile, we're legalizing marijuana and it's dropping the price of a life-saving medicine for people. It's not medical marijuana that got those prices down. Hell no. Prices for medical marijuana have been pretty consistent. Pretty consistent and pretty consistent and correlative to what the prices are in the black market. So it's not medical that's done the compassionate job of getting the prices down for patients. It's going to be legalization. I'm already seeing specials, $79 ounces, $99 ounces, $45 a quarter, $50 a half, all sorts of specials out there. And as we open up mega grows and as we open up far bigger greenhouse grows and outdoor grows, that's what's going to get the price down. That's what's going to help patients more than any stoner against legalization is going to help. Now, folks, what they're concerned about here isn't that you're not going to be able to grow any. Their concern is that they're not going to be able to sell any. And I'm sorry if I get this, oh, but they're, you know, family growers who've been growing for three generations and they're supporting their kids and their family. Yeah, and I'm sure that a lot of slave auctioneers back in the 1800s supported their families off of their jobs, too. Sure, a lot of buggy whip manufacturers had to adjust how they were going to feed their kids after the automobile was invented. Times change, and nobody deserves to make a living based on the suffering and the abrogation of liberty, the stealing of liberty from peaceful citizens. I'm sorry, I can't get behind that.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I opted for convenience to use my personal email account.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 53 after the hour with a quick reminder to stay on the stream because coming up at the top of the hour, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern, it's the Stoner Jesus Show. Not safe for work, but definitely hilarious. So checking out the chat room, and I did get a comment on the chat room that it's a good comment. Points out that maybe that's not fair of me to compare Main Street marijuana in Vancouver to Harborside in Oakland, because Harborside, I'm told, tends to be an expensive place to shop, and that there's cheaper places to shop in California. And I was specifically recommended to check out Spark SF, S-P-A-R-C-S-F, in San Francisco on Mission Street, I think. And so I did, and that, because that's a perfectly valid complaint. And it's also valid because Main Street marijuana is got some of the lowest prices in Washington, right? I'm not comparing to Uncle Ike's in Seattle, for example. But it was just two of them that I picked up, and they both were selling OG Kush. And so, and with one of them selling it, you know, Harborside 45 an eighth compared to Vancouver's 45 a quarter, made for a very compelling narrative. But you're right. I should be more open and check out some other locations. So I'm on the menu of Spark SF right now, and I can actually find two strains on their menu page of what they had 22 in stock today, something like that. No, more than that. But anyway, out of what they got in stock today, I did find two strains. They came in at $45 a quarter. Now, I don't think this is with tax, so it'd still be cheaper in Vancouver. But there is some Black Lime Reserve, a sativa dominant hybrid, for $45 a quarter. And where's that other one? There, Chem Dog. Some Chem Dog for $45 a quarter. Another sativa dominant hybrid. So there are some values, I guess, in San Francisco. And then I found a couple other strains. There's a couple that are $65 a quarter. Fire OG, Chocolate Hashberry. Some $55 a quarter for some Green Goddess, some Headband at $55 a quarter. So the prices aren't awful. $200 ounces on those guys. $170 ounces on the Black Lime Reserve, the other $45 quarters. So yes, price is better than you're going to find at Harborside for sure. But still, not prices as low as what you'll find in the Pacific Northwest. I think as time goes on, Oregon is going to become a focus of a lot of this. In that we are going to have, I think, the best production, the lowest prices, the most open market that has so far been decided in this state. Like Washington State, they're trying to limit exactly how much state canopy, exactly how many retailers they're going to be. Nevada's legalization, when it passes, is going to control distribution through the existing liquor distributors. Arizona is going to limit it to one pot shop for every 10 liquor licenses. I think Massachusetts has some other limitation like that and so forth. So eventually we'll start to look at Oregon as, all right, what happens when we do let there be? Because Oregon's not limiting the licenses. If you qualify, you can get a license. If you can find a place to put up your shop, you can put up your shop. And we're going to see how that type of laissez-faire, and it's not exactly laissez-faire because there's a lot of regulations, but how that more open-ended approach is going to pan out compared to these more closed market, more centrally controlled market, Soviet-style economies are going to run. I predict Oregon will have the cheapest weed prices in the nation, and that competition is going to start to drive down the prices elsewhere. There's nowhere to go but down. Folks, that's all the time I got for today, but stay on the stream. You'll hear silence for a few seconds while we get it transferred over from beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, all the way up to Stony Heaven, so you can enjoy the Stoner Jesus Show. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Until that time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.